This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by mmcomfortsystems.com. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
A week from today, the new vaccine passport system goes into effect in King County. For those of you who live outside of King County thinking it's not going to happen to you, oh, just you wait and see. I still believe that this system is going to go statewide. In fact, it'll probably go nationwide, at least in the Democrat-run states. So you're not escaping it. Folks who live up in Whatcom County are like, oh, I love it. You stupid people down in Federal Way and Seattle and Bellevue. And wait, is Linwood in? No, Linwood's not in King County. Oh, I'm so confused. It doesn't matter. I live here in Ferndale and I don't have to worry about it. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. And you're right. Lots of people confuse like Linwood and Edmonds and that area with whether or not it's King County or if it's Snohomish. So I'll give you a pass. Mostly because of pity that you think you're going to get a pass from the vaccination system. It's going to happen starting on Monday of next week. A week from today, you're going to have to show your vaccine passport or a recent negative PCR test, which is the more expensive one. It's not the lateral flow test, which is least expensive. They want to go with the fully expensive one because they want to try to bully you into getting this vaccine. And you're going to have to show your passport or your negative test to restaurants, gyms, or entertainment venues. So going to a movie, going to a concert, you now have to deal with this. Now, the businesses have to do this or they get in some sort of trouble. What that trouble actually is, don't know. Will it be serious? Probably not. But it's working in a way that suggests you literally just show either the physical copy or a digital version of it. And they don't ask for ID to go along with the vaccine passport. Why don't they ask for IDs? What are IDs? Say racist.
Racist, Jason.
They're racist. They're racist, according to King County and Democrats writ large. So in that case, it kind of feels like anyone, not that I'm recommending this, but I'm going to do it myself, cheat the system by just showing someone else's card or just randomly, you know, downloading an image from Google Images that's maybe a vaccine card that has a woman's name on it because they can't judge you for that, and just fake information. Like maybe I'll get one from the UK that says AstraZeneca. I'm kind of curious to go ahead and do it and see whether or not they're checking it closely. Not because my plan is to just take advantage of it, mostly because I'm curious how the process is going to work. Personally, I'm going to hold off on submitting to this passport system for as long as I can. Will that be easy at first? Probably. We're heading, the only thing that I would go to, there's some restaurant, I went to a restaurant last night. Very easy to get in and out. They weren't asking for anything. And I started to think to myself, because this was the first like nice restaurant I had been to in, I think since the pandemic. I've been to like restaurant, but not like nice restaurants. I think this is the first one I've been to since the pandemic started and had wine, got a little sloshed. I only had 2 glasses of white wine and I was so drunk. And that is weird because I don't normally drink. And so afterwards, as I was stumbling home, literally stumbling home, I was thinking, oh, that was a good experience. Had we just talked trash all night, a friend of mine who works in media, and I was thinking it would be a shame if I had to say no to the next one, because it turns out this media member lives really, really close to me, like 2 blocks away. And it would suck if I had to say no in the future because of this, but I'm going to stick to my guns. Movie theaters, the only other place that I would normally go to, and right now we're headed into screener season because it's award season, which means all the movies come to me digitally so I don't have to go to a theater. I'm going to hold off as much as I can, not out of punishment to these businesses, but because I think it's government overreach. You should have the option to go to a private business and let the business decide. Now, if an individual business wants to decide that they're going to implement a vaccine passport when they don't have to, okay, that is on them. They will either reap the benefits of approaching business in that way, because I imagine in Seattle, for example, there are a lot of folks who are okay with that and eager to do that, or suffer the consequences of it. And, you know, looking into some other cities, maybe say Auburn or something, or maybe you go further into East King County, north Bend, they might not be interested in doing that. But that's for a business to decide. That the government is forcing this on people, that's, to me, where it goes too far, and I don't want to participate in that. I do not want to participate in that. And I'm going to hold out as long as I can. But there are some businesses now that have implemented it earlier than they needed to. And, you know, they talk about it in a way that it's just like asking for an ID, except, of course, in this case, you're not asking for an ID. Rinehouse, Seattle requires the proof of vaccination, but only for the people who show up to the bar after 10 p.m., because before 10 p.m., apparently COVID doesn't actually transmit. So that's, it's like the COVID transmission hours are post 10 p.m. So it's probably 10 p.m. to what time do bars close in Seattle? 1, 2, 1? Something like that. That's the only time you can get COVID. So they make sure that they ask for your COVID card. And the general manager, his name is Jeremy Walcott. He spoke to King 5.
Does anything get disgruntled or just, hey, we refuse service to you because you're not following the law?
Okay, so we're just going to refuse service because you're not following along. I imagine that we're going to, as of next week, hear a lot of stories from King and Como and Q13, Kyra, whatever it is, about how some people got a little bit mouthy when asked for the vaccine passport. So I'm telling everybody, you know what's happening now. Don't walk into a situation where you're not willing to comply, because it's not their fault. Some restaurants, like Rinehouse, they're going out of their way to do it. There are other businesses, I'm telling you, they are dragging their feet. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. And maybe we start a secret list. I don't know how we would keep it truly secret of the businesses that are choosing not to really enforce this rule. But Rinehouse is on my list of places to go to see if I can trick them into letting me in.
You're going to go to Rinehouse?
Yes.
When was the last time you've been to Rinehouse?
I don't even know where it is.
It's up on Cap Hill.
Oh my God. I can't go there. People will spot me and then they'll stab me.
Yeah. I mean, that's most of Seattle. So yeah. You got to figure out a plan for outside of Seattle places.
King County said it's going to review the order in 6 months to figure out whether or not they need to continue it. And the truth of the matter is, they're going to continue it until you get to 100% vaccination rate. But here's a legitimate question that I have. What happens after, just live in the world in which Inslee and Dow Constantine, Jenny Durkin, all these people, they get us to 100% vaccination. Then what? Because the COVID virus does not go away. It could still spread even though you have the vaccine. And the reason to get a vaccine is that it cuts down on the negative impacts, health impacts that it could have on you. It keeps you out of the hospital and it keeps you away from death in the vast, vast, vast majority of cases. That's why I'm vaccinated. But after everyone gets vaccinated, then what? What then do they ask of us? What comes after that? What will they require us to do or get or show just to live a semi-normal life? And I don't know the answer to that, but I know that it's coming, because it started from we're not going to force you to wear a mask to forcing people to wear a mask. It went from promising that they wouldn't mandate a vaccine to mandating a vaccine. How many times have they told us they weren't going to do something and then they escalated it? So telling us that after the vaccine mandate, then the vaccine passport, after the don't worry, we're going to be done. I don't believe that. Something will happen next, and I don't know what that is. And so I can't contribute to a process that gets us closer to that reality. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Find out what else is trending.
What's trending? At home.
Sergeant Richard Thompson is a nearly 17-year veteran of the Washington State Patrol out in Cowlitz County. Unfortunately, he had to offer a tearful sign-off over the weekend. He is out of a job due to the COVID vaccine mandate implemented by Governor Jay Inslee. His wife, Selena, was actually the dispatch operator at the time. She, too, finds herself out of a job despite 15 years in the position thanks to this mandate. And both join me now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll start, Richard, on your end. You made this announcement. You video recorded the sign-off. It was obviously very emotional for you, but take us through what ended up happening.
So I got to, I was very fortunate and blessed that my wife got to be on the other end of the sign-off. It's very significant to me because she's kept watch over me for so long, for all these years. It meant a lot, to get, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of good people that are losing their position due to their own personal choice. And for me, for us, this is the opportunity when, whether you're pro or against vaccination is not the point. It's the point of overreaching government and being forced to make, you know, having medical choice and personal freedoms taken away from you. I just couldn't do it. I've spent almost 20 years of my life protecting and serving citizens of the state of Washington and protecting their civil liberties and civil rights. And ours are being taken away without consequence. And it's unfortunate, and it makes me sad and scared for the state of Washington.
And normally after these sign-outs, Celia, the dispatch operator takes a moment to go over some of the accomplishments of the person who, generally speaking, would be retiring. For you, you found yourself in a position where it was your own husband who was making that call, and you would deliver some words on his behalf. How difficult and emotional was it for you?
If I can get through this conversation without choking up, it was definitely emotional. It was harder than I thought. I definitely wanted to be the one to do it, and I didn't want to miss the opportunity because I have been his, one of his dispatchers the last 15 years. And I'm also the one that he comes home to every night. So it meant a lot to me to do it. I was just truly blessed and honored to be the one to sign him off for the last time after all his dedication to the state.
What's behind, Celia, your decision to not comply with the vaccine mandate?
I'm not ready to take the vaccine. I'm not anti-vaccine, but I want to see the years of research before I commit to putting it in my body. That's basically what it comes down to. I just want to see the research, and I want the years to be behind that. But also, you know, there's that added the mandate of it, and I'm not particularly happy with it being forced upon me either.
Richard, did you and Celia apply for an exemption? Did you go through the process where they say, we'll grant you the exemption, but we're not going to give you an accommodation?
Yes, we both were. And to me, to touch on what Selena said, we're being asked to put something in your body that has potentially lifelong side effects for an emergency power that is temporary.
Yeah, and I think that is a fair point for folks to put out there. I mean, look, at the end of the day, and I think you said it, you both said it fairly well, it's just like, it's not that you're anti-vaccine, you just want to be able to make that choice on your own accord and not have your job hang in the balance. It's obviously,
exactly,
it's important for both of you. Selena, you held 15 years in that position. You've got a ton of training behind you. Richard, you know, doing the job for 17 years, a year ago this past Saturday, you became a sergeant. When you look at the amount of time that you put into this job, only to see it end this way, Richard, we can go with you first. What goes through your mind?
Jason, there's been probably gallons of tears shed over this over the last few months. There's been lots of things racing through our minds, my mind. It's not fair. It's not right. You know, we're in a profession where the public rightfully expects people to be above moral reproach, and we're firing all the people that stood by their moral convictions. It just blows my mind that it just doesn't make no sense. I have had some time now, obviously, to come to terms with the fact that my time of service is over and that it was cut short, and it makes me sad because I have dedicated my entire adult life to serving others, and it's been taken away by somebody else, not of my choosing. So yeah. It's that part is really hard for me because that's who I am in my heart. For people that know me, that's just who I am. And it's hard. It's still hard. Because money's just money. I can make more. This livelihood, this profession is full of people, the ones that I know, that are doing it because it's who they are on the inside. It's who they are.
Selena, same question to you.
I'm devastated. Turning in our stuff today, I walked out of that building and I feel like I left a part of my heart there. Everything I've known has been at the State Patrol, and it wasn't, I feel like I found my calling early in life. I was hired young and I loved it. I loved every minute of my career. I loved helping people, so it's hard. And today, especially because we really, like, we turned in our stuff and we're out having lunch with our peers that were also fired, and that it all hurts. It all hurts, but I'm worried for the people that are left behind at the State Patrol.
Yeah.
And just the exhaustion that they'll endure and the covering they'll have to do, the long hours. So yeah, it's hard.
I know you don't have the specific number, Selena, but how many people are you aware of that have been let go today?
I don't have, like, statewide numbers, but I know in our dispatch, our District 5, we handle 5 counties, Skamania, Clark, Klickitat, Lewis, and, Collet, Lewis, Clark, Skamania, and Klickitat. We have spots for 17 communications officers, and after today, there will be 8.
Wow.
So they're looking to turn our communications at night for the troopers, the 911 calls. They'll be turning that over to Tacoma, our Tacoma office, because there's not enough staffing to cover it here.
Yeah, we don't even know what the staffing looks like in the Tacoma office. Richard, how many of your colleagues have called it quits as a result of this? Or not called it quits, you were forced out.
Jason, it's unfortunate that the narrative being told is they're downplaying this role.
Yeah.
And that's, so the reality is that the people being, having their employment terminated today is not the true number. The true number is not being told by the exec staff in Olympia or by governors in Z's office. The reality is that our district, those 5 counties that Selena just mentioned, are allotted 75 commissioned troopers, and tomorrow there will be 51. There are 11 sergeants, such as myself, and after tomorrow there will be 7. So we're running at 2/3 staffing, approximately. Like,
wow.
As a result of people retiring from the mandate and being terminated. And while they're trying to say, so even the people that are separating today that are retiring, they're not counting in that number that they're putting out from Olympia and the people terminated, because those people are, quote, retiring. But it's a result of the mandate, in addition to all the rest of the people that have been retiring leading up to this mandate.
Yeah. So do you count then as a, how do they classify your decision?
We are terminated. We are part of those being separated.
What is this? I'll leave this question for both of you. Selena, we'll start with you. What does this mean for public safety?
I fear that I don't know. I don't know what this means for my coworkers out there on the road. I don't know what it means for the citizens here in our community if they call 911 or they need a trooper. I don't know, and I'm fearful of that, and I'm sad.
Richard?
So, for me, like, it breaks my heart thinking, like, I was a first-line supervisor working, you know, with 6 troopers, and there's only 4 of the 6 troopers left in my crew, and I start getting scared of what's the aftermath of this, what's the burnout rate going to be, how many other troopers are going to quit, because there's just, like, you know, at some point, a heart of service is going to be overcome by, is it worth coming to work here? You know, I'm scared for the citizens of the state of Washington and the availability of law enforcement in the future. I don't know. I don't know.
Any regrets for either of you?
Well, for me, you have to stand up for what you have to firmly stand up for what you believe in. And for me, this, I just, no. I feel in my heart what I did was right. based on personal choice and freedoms. And at the end, I can't go along with it. I can't just go along with it for a paycheck. Money is just money. We can go make more, do something else.
Selena?
Yeah, same thing. I definitely don't regret my decision, but I'm sad, and that's okay.
We're thinking of you both. I hate what this governor has done to you. I think it's wholly unnecessary. Both of you could have very easily been accommodated, since you've been accommodated for the last 18 months without any incident. We wish you the best of luck, and we'll see what the next chapter holds for you both. We've been talking with Sergeant Richard Thompson and his wife Selena Thompson, both longtime members of the Washington State Patrol, who now find themselves out of work, terminated as a result of the vaccine mandate. Thank you guys so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is The Big Local on The Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon? That means it's time for The Big Local. Brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. This is the time of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Eastern Washington. I don't actually know where Nick Rolovich lives.
I mean
we could just say Pullman, but
it's
gotta
be Pullman.
It doesn't have to be Pullman.
Oh, it could be Moscow.
Yeah, it could be lots of places. He could be a commuter. Maybe he lives in Longview.
Oh, yeah, he's going to commute from Longview. You know.
There is what's being described as high anticipation as to what is going to happen to the employment of Nick Rolovich, because as you will recall, he is someone who is not interested in getting the vaccine. He then applied for a religious exemption from getting it, and at the time when he was asked, he confirmed it, but he clearly seemed annoyed.
I'll confirm that. Not terribly happy with the way it happened. I hope there's no player that I coach has to wake up and feel the way I felt today. And I don't sure it was malicious, but that I wasn't a great thing to wake up to.
I understand his perspective here. He does not want to get this vaccine. His reason should be his own. He was kind of pushed and pushed and pushed by media members into giving us some details. But now we have to find out whether or not he's going to get the exemption. And here's why it now is a story, and it does matter. We're supposedly going to find out sometime later on this evening. I know they say 5:30. I don't know if that's actually going to be true. It'll probably be pushed to tomorrow. I don't know. They have up until midnight. Unless they come up with some excuse why they would not give us an answer. What's the latest that you're seeing?
John Canzano, who is a columnist at the Oregonian, has a source that says Rolovich has been terminated 60 seconds ago.
Literally 60 seconds
ago. It just came out on Twitter. And then there's a source that tweeted it 3 hours ago, who's a former player, Mike Tice. But
Of course you know who
Mike Tice is, but Tyson, nobody else has confirmed until, I guess this is a second report.
So let's assume that that happened. It had to because they have, Wazoo and so many others have rejected so many exemption requests, or they accept the exemption request but then they deny the accommodation. And my assumption is, in this case, once we get some of the reporting, assuming that this is true, is that they'll say, we accepted his religious exemption, however, we have we're unable to accommodate his request. That's been happening all across the state. And when you look at Wazoo, the vast majority of folks who asked for an exemption were denied, or same thing, accepted the exemption but denied the accommodation. So they had no choice in this case but to terminate him over this, because if they didn't, they would be opening themselves up to a whole bunch of not just criticism, but potentially lawsuits. Now, that's assuming this story, the source is correct. If the source right now is incorrect, mostly because they don't have it confirmed in writing, it will eventually be correct. We can say he's going to be fired. If this story right now is incorrect, later on, we will find out that he is being terminated. There is no way around it. And that sucks for him, perhaps not for the school, which maybe wanted to get rid of Nick Rolovich, and this was their opportunity to move away from him, because he was the highest paid employee, technically state employee, in the state of Washington. They did not have a great record at Wazoo, right?
They've won their last three games, but outside of that, yeah,
overall, they've been underperforming. So this is their way of moving on from him. But I'm sure they're proud of their move. I'm sure they in their hearts are saying, we did the right thing.
I'm curious.
Firing someone because he didn't want to violate his own principles and morals and didn't want to participate in the taking away of his medical freedoms. We feel so good that we got rid of him. Right move.
Curious on how the players react. Their star quarterback has been in his corner
super
the whole time.
Nick Rolovich.
And so Jaden DeLora, I'm curious if what his response will be. He's very vocal with the media, social media.
What if they all walk?
All the players?
What if they go into, who's the president of Wazoo? I forget his name. Whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah, whatever that guy is.
Whatever
Let's talk
his
about
name
the,
is.
The AD for Wazoo's Pat Chun.
Okay.
Go with him.
They're gonna go into his office.
Pat Chun's
office with their jerseys, and they're gonna put it on the table, and the first guy, DeLora. Him will be like, if Rolovich isn't here, then I'm not here. They're gonna pull a Rudy.
You like Rudy?
They're gonna pull a Rudy.
I don't like Rudy.
All of them, one after another. And then music will start to swell in the background, and then you'll get some tears.
What's that actor's name who plays Rudy? Sean something?
Sean Astin.
Ugh.
From The Goonies.
What a bad movie.
So we'll see. We'll wait and see whether or not that report turns out to be true. If it was the Oregonian that broke it before, like Chris Daniels from King 5 of the Worst, who's been all up on them.
Everyone seems to be picking it up now off of the Canzano tweet.
Well, that's a shame. Sorry. It sucks. It's despicable, but that's the state that we now live in. You all have the opportunity to change things. I hope you guys realize this. It's never easy to win an election as a Republican in Washington State, but you do realize that we're doing redistricting right now, and I've been telling you over and over and over again that I need you to make sure that you participate, even just leaving a statement, sending in the email. You can do it. It takes 5 minutes of your total time. It matters because the redistricting of the state, which could kill Republican chances of ever winning most elections if the Democrats win. But it's going to potentially get to the Supreme Court. They're going to look at your comments, and they're going to notice that a lot of activists on the left left a whole bunch of comments, but you said nothing. You said literally nothing. Now, I made it really easy. I have the link up on my our texting machine. All you have to do is text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link to the redistricting website for you to leave a comment. You guys can complain all you want about how difficult it is to win an election. Well, if you do nothing right now, you're going to make it almost impossible. And we will never have any power here. So step up if you're upset about the direction that the state is going in. Meanwhile, Don Reed and Miranda Justice, they're moving from Alaska to Florida. And no one told them, don't do your overnight stay in Tukwila. You could go 10 minutes in any direction, and you would be better off than staying in Tukwila due to their crime issues, usually around theft of vehicle or other goods that you might want to, you know, hang on to. And when you're moving, there are quite a few amount of goods that you presumably would like to hang on to. So they drove. They're making the drive. They floated the boat from Alaska to mainland United States. And then they drove, stopped through Tukwila on the way to Florida. They've got their U-Haul truck attached to their car. They parked it in front of a surveillance camera outside of the Comfort Suites Hotel. And then they found out the next day that everything had been stolen. Not just the U-Haul, but also their car.
The manager of the hotel was actually outside of the hotel at the time and witnessed it. And he tried to stop the thief from stealing it and getting off the property, but they did several U-turns, evasive maneuvers, went through the bushes, and basically got out of the parking lot and got away with all of our stuff.
Hmm. They pulled evasive maneuvers in a U-Haul.
Yeah.
In a parking lot.
Good for them. I'm kidding, obviously. Not good for them.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at that.
Don tells Q13 that he and Miranda are asking people to keep a lookout because they had some really important things in this U-Haul, including their son's childhood belonging.
Just a lot of sentimental things that can't ever be replaced. Pictures from my childhood, things my grandparents gave me. I mean, just pretty much my whole life was in that truck.
So they're telling you to call 911 or contact Tukwila Police Department if you see the car. It's a 2012 Suzuki Kizashi. I've never heard of that before at all. And I frankly forgot that Suzuki was actually a car. I thought it was a stereo maker that went out of business in 1997.
I wonder if this Kizashi is still being produced. I think it stopped.
It's a 2012. I've literally never heard of a Kizashi. So I'm assuming that it's just an old car that's no longer...
09 to 2016.
Yeah, so it's if you see an old car and you're all like, that's an ugly car. What Suzuki, what? What's that? Do they even make Suzukis anymore? Is that, I'm not even joking. I've not heard of a Suzuki car in the last, maybe since 2016. So if you see it, go ahead and call 911. I feel bad for these people, but what a better way to say welcome to Washington. Even if your trip is short, even if it's transitory, we still will screw you.
Doesn't it, you know, just go back to the point of like, hey, don't pick the cheapest hotel in the area because it's probably cheap for a reason. I got to imagine that when they pulled up their Trivago app or Expedia or whatever app they use, like, oh, hey, this hotel is, it looks okay. It's $42 a night. Isn't that a gigantic red flag?
No, I mean, it's in Tukwila. I don't blame the, I blame the bad criminals and the policymakers that make their criminality easier to get away with.
Okay, those are good things to blame.
Yeah. They do say, they go in Q13, reference case number 215267 when you call to report. I think Tukwila PD will be able to figure out what you're talking about.
It's the U-Haul with the Suzuki crime. No clue what you're talking about.
It was on Q13 today. Sir, this is Tukwila. Lots of our crime stories are on Q13. You're going to have to be a little bit more specific. And then you just hang up out of disgust. 1-800-465-877. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. We're hearing more and more and more from folks who are losing their jobs, who have already lost their jobs due to the vaccine mandate. And it is a tough day for a lot of people. The city of Seattle is pretending that all is well. You've got Governor Inslee who's pretending that there will be no service interruptions. All of that is a lie. It is an abject lie. We know it's a lie because we've already seen day one interruptions. We already know that there are departments like the Washington State Patrol that have been hit deeply. We know that Seattle Fire is in trouble. They're pretending that they're not. Chief Scoggins is out there saying, we have a high vaccine compliance rate. Uh-huh. Right. A high vaccine compliance rate reporting at 91%. That means 8% of its employees are unvaccinated or haven't turned in their information. We have 6% that are supposedly exempted. But here's something I know because I talk to people who actually work at fire. They're telling me that there's a lot of overtime being used right now to ensure proper staffing. That creates burnout very quickly. And you're going to start to see moving forward weekends in particular, where lots of these rigs are offline, medics going offline. Mike Todd is a Seattle firefighter. He's been working there for 30 years. And he spoke to the Dory Monson show on our sister station, Cairo Radio. He's someone who's deeply religious. He didn't want to get the vaccine because of that. But it's also about, he says, pushing back against mandates that he believes are overzealous.
This is part of the destruction of the culture of our society, our very how we operate. This is a controlled demolition, and it's been going on for a long time. Anybody who's drive down 3 Avenue South in my district, in the Soto District, or down 4th Avenue South between Spokane and Royal Brome, and it looks like South Central L.A. now, right?
Yeah.
So he's completely disingenuous. He knows what he's doing. He's working from a playbook, and I encourage anybody out there, don't just get a dopamine hit off of what I'm saying. Stand up and do something. Call. Make a phone call. Write a letter. It doesn't matter which side of the political spectrum you're on. This is not about left or right. This is about us and our freedoms as Americans and defending our children.
He, of course, is 100% correct that sometimes all you need to do is make a phone call. Be that one person who sends that one message, voicemail message. Get someone on the line and explain to them where you're coming from. And if enough one people get together, they become multiple people. And then it matters, because politicians at the end of the day will want to stay in positions of power. And if you tell them that they're not going to be able to stay in a position of power because of what they're doing, they might change their minds. And the ones who don't change their minds, despite the overwhelming majority of a district saying this is wrong, well, guess what? You will then ensure that that person doesn't stay in office, because people will know that when they make these phone calls, where they know that you are also making these phone calls, they feel that kind of momentum build, and they realize that the person in office isn't truly representing them. It's time to step up. And unfortunately, what Mike is saying here is that he believes the city is going to contribute to future deaths with this decision.
The city of Seattle is choosing to take the hardest line possible, and they are creating, they're going to create brownouts. We're going to get rid of all the aid cars. Where there'll be brownouts in stations, where you see a ladder truck and a fire engine, there may only be a ladder truck there. So this is not about public health. This is about public death.
It's about public death. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen. I hope it doesn't happen. But we're in uncharted territory. We're going to continue to explore this when we come back. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. You're listening to The Jason Ranch Show on AM 770 KTTH.